Thank you, Oakley. Appreciate it, guys. Welcome back. How you guys doing tonight? We're doing all right? Doing good? All right, some of you are like, I'm doing this. This is how I am. How many of you had this kind of day? Anybody? All right, a few. Do I dare ask? No, we're not going to go there. All right, so guys, welcome. We're glad to have you here. If this is your first time, my name is Andy, the young adult pastor here at Crossings. And man, I'm excited for this series because when I think about this word be, it just happens to be at the beginning of our belong, be known, and become. And there's a reason for that. And so one of as our team was talking was, do our people understand what that means? We say it, but have we ever explained why we say these things over and over? Because if you're anything like I am, like I need to know the vision of what we're doing for me to get excited and engage in it. And if we don't talk about what we're doing and why we're doing it and how we're gonna do it, then we just kind of start filling in the gaps with whatever we think that means. And so we just want to kind of cast some vision. So in order to do that, I want to just really quick, because I'm the old guy in the room, I want to frame it like this. Let me tell you the quick family story of how this ministry began. So back, it was like 2012-ish, 2013, I was a high school pastor here at Crossings, and I saw a rhythm and a pattern that I did not like. And that was when we would have students graduate our ministry, then go to college. I've been around long enough to see them come back to town, right? They graduate and they come back to the city, they get a job, whatever, all that kind of thing. And what I noticed as I would see them around town is I would engage them, like, so what are you doing now? Are you back at church? And like, yeah, but I'm not at Crossings. And I'm like, why not? And the consistent answer is there is no place for me there. Crossings, we were missing a gap of age. It was like graduate high school, and then when you get married, we're ready for you, right? And so I realized, like, as I started to talk with people, that's not the majority of the people that I know. And it just kind of broke my heart to use this word. Like, there was no place for them to belong in this body of believers. There was no place for them to connect, to grow. Whether they were single, engaged, dating, married, whatever, that was just not it. And so this ministry began because we needed a place for young adults to engage in the body of Christ. We were missing it as a church. We didn't have space for young adults. We were just like, well, when you become a real adult, right, when you get married, that's how church is treated a lot of times. Like, when you become a real adult, we'll have a place for you. And that didn't sit well with me. And so we started this ministry. And so as we started it back in 2014, we started the gathering in 2015. It'll be 10 years next March. And we just realized that we need to have a reason why we meet other than just meeting for the sake of meeting. Because here's what ends up happening. We live in America. And when we get together, we just want to have fun. And the danger in just getting together just to have fun is that's the end goal. And when you stop having fun, we disengage. And so we came up with belong, be known, and become like Christ. And so here's why we chose the word belong. It's not rocket science. It's because this is the greatest need of humanity. I don't care whether you are in elementary school, middle school, high school, college, young adult, or old man or woman. You want to belong. You want to go somewhere where you belong, not where you fit in. That's like junior high school, and it's just the worst, isn't it? I just want to fit in, because then you got to change who you are in order to be accepted and cared for and loved. Belonging means something deeper, and that need that we feel that something isn't quite right with the world is just with us all the time. Something's just not quite right. I need to adjust, change, figure out how to fit in. And I think that's ingrained in us, not just in America. I think it's a human condition. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, we see God moving towards belonging. Because in the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, we see humanity separated from God because of sin. To use the word exile would be a good theme. That there's exile. That whole theme of the Bible is all the way through Scripture. And from the moment the separation happened, God put into plan to purpose us to be back with him where we belong. So from the beginning, we see the separation to Revelation chapter 19, 20, and 21. Go read it. It's fantastic. As believers, we need to be reminded of what God has in store for us and what he is doing. All along, God is bringing us back to our home, and that is with him. And so we don't gather here at the gathering just to have a place to hang out and make friends. That's a benefit, and that will happen. But we have a purpose behind it, this powerful idea of belonging. Back in the 90s and early 2000s, there were studies done on the idea of self-esteem, that they thought, hey, that the teachers and educators and psychologists thought self-esteem is what children need. They need to believe in themselves. Well, surprise, after they actually did that and studied it over a couple decades, what they realized is self-esteem is not what people need. You know what it is? What do you think it is? Belonging. That's what people need. Because from belonging comes identity, and with belonging comes love and value and worth, and that's where you get self-esteem. This idea of, there's something deep in us that longs to belong. When we first started the gathering, I would meet, everybody was new. And so when I would ask them, what brought you here? Almost like it was a recording was the answer. Well, I just don't know anybody. I moved down to town and I don't know anybody. What are they saying? I don't have anywhere to belong. I don't have a group of people to belong to. Like our whole world, our whole culture is built on this idea. Like now they call them, I think, micro communities. We're like, instead of these big groups, like we're just starting to whittle it down to just a small group of people that believe what I believe, that see the world the way I see it, so that I can have a place to belong that's safe. Our whole world's built on it. Whether you're tailgating at a football game, whether you join a team, whether you work at this, some of you work at a workplace where like this is a family. We have a family here at this workplace, right? Because they're tapping into this idea of belonging. We want to belong to someone, something. So Brené Brown, she is a therapist, but a researching therapist. And she says this, belonging is the innate human desire to be a part of something larger than us. Because this yearning is so primal, we often try to acquire it by fitting in and by seeking approval, which are not only hollow substitutes for belonging, but often barriers to it. I think she nailed it. There's something in us. We just want to belong so bad that we will fit in. We will change what we do, what we wear, how we look, how we talk. We will change whatever we need so that we will belong. And as I talked to young adults as we began, what I heard was, I just want a place to belong. I want somewhere where I know people. Because here's the thing, and you probably will agree with this, is in middle school and high school, no one ever really teaches you how to make friends when you're an adult. They don't. Growing up, our friend groups are just kind of provided for us through school and activities, church and clubs. We're just kind of surrounded. Even in college, many of you who went to college, like you're just surrounded by people. Like, this is your friend group. These are your people. Choose, pick, separate, divide, whatever. But then when you become a young adult and you're no longer in college and there's no longer classes to go to and teams to be a part of, all of a sudden we find ourselves a little bit lonely. Like, oh, how do I do this? How do I make friends when they're not actually provided for us? So all that to say, that's why we started this thing. One of the many reasons. So what I wanted to do was walk through these three words and just cast the vision of why we are here. So let me start by why we are not here. We are not here to build a country club ministry. Here's what I mean by that. When you join a country club, you pay dues and you go to play golf, swim, have friends, whatever. Like you just, it's a club that you belong to. And then that's what you do. And it's focused on recreation. It's focused on just hanging out and building friendship. We will do that, and we are doing that. But that's not the end goal, because here's the danger of that. The danger in our day and age is that the word community is such a high value that it will become an idol. It will become the end instead of a means to an end. So we're not building a country club ministry. Like the way I want to think about this is we are going to build more of a battleship ministry, meaning that we're going to be on the same team, going the same direction for the same noble cause. And then that we have a God, a leader who's driving the ship, and we are going to take the light of Christ into this dark world. And along the way, we're going to have fun. We're going to do fall retreats. We're going to go to the state fair. We're going to have a great time doing it. But we're doing it for a purpose, that we would know Jesus and that we would help make him known. So we're going to talk about belonging tonight. I wrote this out just because I wanted to say this correctly. Is at the gathering at Crossings, we purpose here to be more than just a community of friends where someone knows your name. A place to truly belong, be known, and become like Christ, reminding one another, encouraging, supporting, celebrating, and challenging one another to be shaped by the Holy Spirit into the image of Christ. That's why we're here. So if you're about that, man, welcome. If you're not, welcome. We're glad you're here. We hope you jump on board because God's got more for you in this life than any company, than any paycheck could ever offer. It is an eternal purpose for eternal souls. So here's what we're going to do tonight. I'm just going to walk through three things as Christians, what belonging really means. So number one, as Christians, as a follower of Jesus, we belong first and foremost to the Lord. That's whom we belong to. The heart of God from beginning to the end of the Bible, from his creation, is for his people to be with him forever. I already talked about that in brief, but if you look at the theme of belonging from beginning to end, it is God's heart that you would be with him. That's home. You guys, you go on vacation, or maybe when you did go away to college, or you've lived far away, like that longing for, like, I just want to sleep in my own bed again. I just want to go home and have mom's cooking, whatever it is. There's this idea of home that is just like, man, oh, I can't wait. I mean, now we go on vacation to get away from home, but eventually you reach that day where you're like, okay, I'm ready to go back. I'm ready to be in my own bed, my own house. The heart of humanity, the souls that are sitting in this room, that are watching online, our soul's home belongs with God. And that is what God is purposing to do, is he is to redeem all of creation. And that includes you, and that includes me, that he would take us back. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, says this, "For even the Son of Man," says Jesus, "came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." The reason Jesus came was to ransom you, to get you back to him. Not to a building, not to a room, not to a group of people, but he ransomed you to get you back to himself. Jesus came to this earth to redeem you. Humanity was once with God in the garden, but because of the rebellion of humanity, we were separated. And God's heart and purpose now through Jesus Christ is to bring us back to himself. I love in Romans 14, the Apostle Paul writes in verse 7, 8, and 9, "For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. If we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, that we would belong to the Lord, to be the Lord both of the living and the dead." That's why Jesus came, to seek and save the lost. Second thing, as Christians, we no longer belong to ourselves or the world. We belong to God as believers. That is whom we belong to. He has purchased us back. He has redeemed us, which means we no longer belong to ourselves. We are no longer autonomous. Something significant changes when you decide to follow Jesus. Something eternal and temporal changes. It goes from me being the king of my life to God being the king of my life. And this is a hard shift to make because now I'm not the only one that has a say in what I do, in what I believe, in what I think. God has first say because I belong to him. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, again, the Apostle Paul makes this point. He says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that he dwells in you, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. If you buy a car, that car is now yours and you can do whatever you want with it. You can speed with it or you can go slow as molasses with it. You can wreck it. You can add people to it. You can tweak it. You can put a lift on it. You can do all, why? Because it's your car. God, through his son, has purchased us back from the enemy. And we belong to him. So we no longer belong to ourselves. And this is the concept that our world has a problem with. Just in general, the American heart has this independence in us. Like we have a day where we blow stuff up to celebrate our independence. We are literally blowing up money. That's what we do. How crazy is that? And it's super fun though, isn't it? Like it's awesome. But we celebrate our independence. You can't tell me what to do. And so our whole country is built on this mentality of independence, that I am my own, that we are our own. You can't tell me what to do. You're gonna tax our tea, I'll throw the tea in the harbor, right? Like that's what we did. But what a commentary on just the nature of our heart, isn't it? But when we belong to God, what shifts is our independence turns into dependence. Now we are dependent on God to lead us, to show us, to guide us, to convict us, to encourage us, to strengthen us. He is now the number one, which means I need to step off the throne of my life and allow God to take his rightful seat. And the cool thing is it's not that God is this tyrant who has purchased us and then enslaved us. No, that's not what he has done. He has purchased us with the blood of Christ, the precious blood of Jesus, to free us from the sin nature that has caught us. That's what he does. Following Jesus is a life of pursuing freedom. The enemy would love for us to believe that pursuing a life with Christ is actually enslavement and no fun. That ain't true. That's why he's the deceiver, the liar, the one that steals, kills, and destroys. Jesus has come to set the captives free and to release the oppressed. And so we no longer have sole decision-making power in our lives. God has the first say. And we can trust him because he is good. He loves you and he actually knows you fully. He knows everything about you. Every thought that you've ever had, everything that you've ever done, everything you've ever looked at, everything you've ever said, everything you've even wanted to say, he knows you fully and has given his son to redeem you completely. That's a value statement. The cross of Christ is the ultimate value statement on the price and value of your life and your soul. And so we can belong to God with no fear because he is a good God who loves us completely and has saved us absolutely. In John 15, Jesus says this, the world would love you as one of its own if you belonged to it, but you are no longer part of the world. Jesus says, I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. We belong to God, no longer to this world, so this world will hate us. Because by not belonging is a judgment statement. They will say, well, you're judging me, right? We hear that all the time. But Jesus says, no, I have called you out of the world. And so as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, there should be significant change when we come to Christ as our Lord and Savior. There should be change. There should be drastic change because I am no longer in charge. He is in charge. My beliefs are no longer primary. His beliefs and his, what he says about me and life in general takes primary place in my life. We belong to something. Here's that's the truth is we belong. You belong right now to something or someone. We're constantly being pulled in to belong, to be a part of, to find our identity in something other than God. The lowest hanging fruit that we can see obviously every day, all day, right now is politics. Both parties are just falling over themselves for you to belong to what they believe. They'll lie about it. They will manipulate facts to get you to belong to their worldview. As believers, that's not who we are. Our allegiance is to the Lord alone. And so we can't get caught up in that stuff. I'm not saying don't care. We just can't become our identity as a party of politics that God is the one who ordains. We do not belong to that world. But we do belong to something. So what is that for you? What's the temptation for you? That if you're going to find an identity outside of God, what is it going to be? Is it going to be how smart you are? How much money you make? How good looking you are? What kind of a car you drive or where you live? How many friends you have? How busy your calendar? Like, what is it? What is it that will say, this is what I'm trying to belong to? Other than my relationship with God. Because he has purchased us with the precious blood of his son. And then thirdly, as Christians, not only do we belong to one another, we no longer belong to ourselves or the world. Now we belong to one another. You as a follower of Jesus are a part of something bigger than yourself. Remember that quote from Brené Brown? That there's this innate desire that we would belong to something bigger than ourselves. Because when we're alone by ourselves, we know that there's an end to us. I can't control anything. And so God gives us this wonderful thing called a faith family. That when we become Christians, when we say, God, you are number one, I'm going to submit and commit to you. You are going to live my life for me. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. When that happens, a huge transfer happens. Our allegiance goes from this world to the citizens of heaven. We are God's kids. Our allegiance changes. And a part of that is now you are part of God's kingdom, which is the biggest and best thing to be a part of. Guys, we see this all over the place. Like just a couple weeks ago, college football started. We all want to be a part of something bigger. We want to be a part of a team that wins and beats everybody. We want to be a part of that team when they win the national championship or the conference. We want to be a part to say, hey, that's my team. I belong with them. But here's the problem with that. Only one team can win every year. And so what we end up doing is we belong to something and we get frustrated with it. We wrap our whole lives around it because it has let us down. But here's the amazing thing. Is that God says, I've got something bigger and better for you to belong to, and it's his kingdom. Romans 12, 4 and 5, Paul says this, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body, us. We are the body of Christ. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. You in this room and online, like if you are my brother and sister in Christ, we are a faith family. You're not just some person that attends the gathering. If you are a follower of Jesus, you're my brother. And I'm your brother. You're my sister. We are a faith family. We belong to one another. There is no private faith. We live a public faith. And we live it with one another. And the amazing thing that we see in the gospel of Jesus is there is no like, hey, just get your stuff together and then you can come and then you can be a part. No, no, no. Jesus invites us. He includes us because he sees us as invaluable pieces of his creation. And here's the thing. When you aren't here, when we're not committed to the family of faith, the believers, the followers of Jesus, when we're not committed and we go off on our own and we just make it this kind of convenience thing, it's not just bad for you to be apart from the body. Like if I cut my pinky finger off, that's gonna hurt. It's gonna be bad for the pinky and the hand, right? We are a body of believers. And so when you choose, like when we say, hey, I'm just too busy, I'm not gonna go, like, here's the deal. It's not gonna be good for you, but it's also, there's gonna be someone here that's gonna miss out on you and what God's doing in your life. The encouragement you're gonna bring to their life tonight or tomorrow or Sunday or whatever it is, or it's small group or your gathering group, when we don't show up, our faith family is like, oh man. Because God has wired you and gifted you, not just for you to pad a bank account. He has wired you and gifted you to build up the body of believers, to encourage, to celebrate, to cheer on, to strengthen, and to challenge your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because guys, if the world's gonna hate us, we're gonna need to do this together. And so what do we do about that? When we belong to one another, what does this look like? Well, Jesus kind of knew we'd need some guidance. And so in John 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus says this, I give you a new command. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And so when we gather, whether it's in a small group or over coffee, we love one another. And if you want to do a really fun study, go look up the one another's in the New Testament. I think it's 59 times you see an instruction, one another, love one another, serve one another, bear a burden with one another, encourage one another. You see it 59 times. Jesus gives the skeleton of, hey, love one another. But here's how we do it. We bear burdens, we care for, we encourage, we pray for, we confess to. This is how we live out our faith together. It's really hard to bear a burden with one another when we are isolated by ourselves. It's really hard for someone to bear a burden with you when you are disengaged from our faith family. So that's why we chose this word. Because we see it all through scripture, from the 30,000 foot eternal, beginning to the end of the Bible, we see God saying, my people need to be with me and I'm going to redeem them. They belong at home with God. That's what he does. And then chapter, book, verse, all through, you see this theme of belonging. First to God, not to this world, but to one another as well. So, what do we do with this? So what? I wanna give you four things very quickly that I wanna encourage you and challenge you with. Because you may find yourself somewhere in one of these. Maybe you'll find it in two or three, I don't know. But so what do we do with this idea of belonging? First is to believe in Christ as Lord, to believe in it, to actually give your life to Jesus. Become a follower of Christ. So believe in Christ. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Join the family. Secondly, after we believe in, now we stay in. One of the things that I see, not just young adults, but pretty much everybody's like, their faith family becomes something that is a convenience-based decision. And what ends up happening is roots are never actually grown in a faith family. We don't stay because it becomes inconvenient, or maybe somebody hurts our feelings. We're like, you know what? Now I'm out. Church hurt. Guys, the church didn't hurt you. Someone else, an individual did something. They didn't represent Christ right. So stay in, be committed to a body of believers. It doesn't have to be this church. Whatever church you're at, go all in. Be surrounded by other believers as you walk out this life of faith in Jesus. If you don't have a church home, man, we would love to have you here. You heard Oakley, we got a Sunday school, we got events, we got the gathering, we got small groups gathering. We got all kinds of opportunities for you to belong. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 exhorts us in this way, and let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other and all the more as you see the day approaching. If you read this verse over and over, what will stick out to you is the author of Hebrews isn't saying, and consider yourself. What does the author say? Consider one another, our faith family. That's why we're committed, because we belong to God and to one another, so that we can encourage each other, because life is hard and life is naturally lonely. And so we come together to encourage, to embolden, to strengthen, to sharpen one another, so that as we go into this world, we can live for God's glory and for our good and the good of those God's placed around us. So first we believe in Christ, then we stay in the community of believers, and then thirdly we lean in. We commit to engaging our faith instead of coasting in our faith. We engage. We start growing and moving into community groups and gathering groups, Bible study and prayer. And we start saying, what is this life in Christ? Let's go. Let's engage it. For too long, I put it in neutral and I just coasted. I'm like, oh, I'm here. I'm good. Check box. You know what happens when you coast? Eventually, you stop. And so we need to engage. When it gets hard, stay engaged. Stay. Don't run. Stay. And then lastly, we welcome in others. So we believe in Christ as our Lord. And then we stay in the community of believers. Then we lean into that community as we grow and sharpen and be sanctified in our walk with Jesus. And then we welcome others in. Guys, here's the coolest thing, is everyone wants to belong. And you and I have the opportunity every day to welcome people in to the body of Christ. Every day. God has placed you, like last week when we had you stand up and say, hey, if you know somebody that doesn't know Jesus, stand up, let's pray for that person. Welcome them in. Bring them along. Because the danger is that once we want to belong so badly in our own person, that once we feel any sense of belonging, we put up walls. I'm like, whoa, this is my friend group. This is my small group. Oh, you weren't invited. Like, no, this is my friend, right? Because making friends is hard. So we protect them. I want to encourage you to push back on that tendency, to welcome people and welcome, have them sit by you, invite them to come with you, invite them to go to church with you, invite them to go to coffee with you, like invite and welcome people in. So we believe in Christ, we stay in community of believers, we lean in, and we welcome others in along the way. Constantly remember what it was like the first time you went somewhere and didn't know anybody and you didn't feel like you belonged. We want the gathering to be a place where young adults feel like they belong, so that they can then be known and then they can become like Jesus every day of their life and live the life to the full that Jesus has promised to give us. A one with purpose that is not just good for today or your life, but for eternity. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna go into 120 seconds. We're gonna give you guys some time. So if you're new, at the end of every message, we give you 2 minutes. Just to sit and pray. And here's what I want you to pray. Holy Spirit, which of these four things is my season? Or which one do I need to move into? Because we get into spiritual ruts. We get into paths. I'm like, all right, this is my schedule. This is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna stay right here. Feels good until it doesn't. And then we just stop. So maybe you're here tonight and you've never actually believed in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe tonight's the night that your eternity changes. Wouldn't that be incredible? That you walked in, you're spiritually dead, and you're gonna walk out of here spiritually alive for eternity? Maybe that's you tonight. Or maybe it's, you know what, I'm gonna make a decision. I'm gonna commit to a body of believers. And I'm gonna start engaging and leaning into it. Or maybe it's for you, it's that person that we talked about last week. And I'm gonna make a move and be a welcoming and inviting Christian into the kingdom of God. So, 120 seconds, then after that, we're gonna go into a time of communion, all right? So when 120 seconds is up, I will let you know, and I'll have you come up here, and there's some tables in the back to just go get your communion elements, and we're gonna share the juice and the bread together, okay?